Grace and I would like to, for you to know that we keenly, joyfully are grateful for your invitation and hospitality and kindness to us, and the times that we have been privileged to spend with you have been sweet days and sweet hours. Thank God for your prayers for us. And we just hope that we could return the hospitality sometime and get you to come to Bentley, one of our Bible camps. And we have lodging places, dormitories for people to stay in, food, everything you need. All you got to do is come and be there and in your joyful presence in the Lord, create and contribute to the good spirit there. Now that takes you about 9 hours to get there. There's another one about halfway between here and there where we're going this afternoon in Waynesboro, Mississippi. Same thing. All the meals and lodgings and dormitories furnished, and the saints and the Lord meet together at that time. And not just preachers. Preachers will be there. Different preachers will be preaching. I'll be preaching there, and then there'll be some good preachers preaching there. And different ones. And the saints enjoy themselves. And so just want you to have that invitation and know of our gratitude. Would you open your Bibles with us, please, to the 115th Psalm and the first chapter of Hebrews. These two passages we will read as our beginning point in our text. Psalms 115 and Hebrews chapter 1. Now, since you've been sitting a little while and you're going to sit a little bit longer, and since it is a physiological fact that the brain can absorb no more than the bottom can endure, maybe you'd like to stand while we read this. Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Amen. Their idols of silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Our Father, we pray that we will be enabled to hear the speaking God speak to our hearts and souls today, unto our edification, our salvation, and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Our God is heard, not seen. Anybody seen him? Anybody heard him? Our God is heard, not seen, as idols. Idols are seen, not heard. nor is he impassive and impotent as gods fashioned out of men's imaginations. He's real and active. He's not of men's inventions or ingenuity. Of all the gods that man has created, none are like the God of the Bible and the God of history and the God of eternity. Man would never make a God like the one who has revealed himself to us. Ours is a speaking God. I want to speak to you today on that topic, the speaking God. In speaking, he addresses our intelligence, not our animal feelings, passions, and emotions. He does not move us through sensational sights of the idol or its productions, or in unintelligible sounds, groans, whines, beats, thumps, mystical sensations, as employed by today's contemporary worship leaders and special music. Many churches have two different services. One that they call a contemporary service, and the other they call a traditional service. The traditional service is something like the kind of service we have here today. I will leave you to your imagination about contemporary service. I don't think you would care much for it. But that's what a lot of folks want, and they want to give folks what they want. Something for everybody. And the two don't go together at all. There's something wrong. When what young people like and what old folks like, and they're different. Something's wrong here. Ain't got but one God. And he's the same today, yesterday, and forever to everyone that he comes to. He never leaves us to our imaginations or our dreams or our own foolish vain ideas or the lies and doctrines of demons. He speaks. His words inform us. They banish our darkness and ignorance with light. Man, that was a good sermon. Wasn't that a good sermon? Very nice preaching. What did he say? I don't know. Boy, we had a good worship service. What happened? What did you find out? But it was good. No, that's not the kind of God that's in the Bible. He reproves us for our past and present errors and disobedience. You ever get your toes stomped on? You ever get trimmed up, worked on a little bit? Yeah, that sounds good. That's what's supposed to happen. God doesn't always speak us and pat us on the head and bless your hearts. Sweetheart, you're doing a good job. I really love you and like you. Just keep on going like you are. That the way God talks to you? Well, that sounds like the God of the Bible, the speaking God. He corrects us and encourages us in the right way. He governs, directs, guides us in the way he prescribes. Nothing on earth could give me peace to lie down and sleep at night, or to continue on in my life, if I did not think that my path was being ordered by the Lord. Amen. As I was upon me and guiding me. The speaking God spake. That is, the God who now speaks is the God who has always spoken. Even when there was none to hear but he who spake. He spake in eternity, in the words of the poet Faber. Amid the eternal silences, God's endless word was spoken. None heard, but he who always spake, and the silence was unbroken. He spoke the creation to existence, by the word of his power. Matter out of nothing. He spoke in history to our fathers, to those who preceded us in the knowledge of him and who left us a record of his word. He spoke to these fathers by the prophets. Which prophets to whom he spake? Yes, in audible voices. Just like a human voice. They heard a voice. There wasn't any person around to make that noise. Where did it come from? Just like that's going on in your vocal cords, my vocal cords now. God spoke, they heard him in an audible voice out of the heavens. He spoke sometimes in dreams and in visions. And on rare occasions, theophanies, that is, divine appearances in a manlike form. Abraham was sitting there minding his own business, and here comes somebody up talking to him. Turned out that's God. All he saw was men. But that's God. He appeared, then he disappeared. God is able to do that. He spake in parables, narratives, figures, symbols, and types, rituals and ceremonies, still does. In those past times, he spoke in sacrifices, in certain feasts, and in certain ordinances. Today, he speaks in certain ordinances and certain things we do in baptism. What's he saying when you see somebody disappear under the water? And after a while they appear again. What did God say? What do you think is happening there? Well, if this the right thing is happening, and the right thing is, has already happened, this is what God's saying. This person once lived and was a sinner. And all of you know that this person was a sinner. That's what she was, or what he was. But that person you see coming up out of the water, that's not the one he used to be. This is a new creature. Amen. That buried, that old person is gone. That's good for it. God said that. The same thing when we observe the Lord's Supper. He says, you remember, as long as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes again. I have partaken of the body and the living substance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was dead and he was crucified and he rose, and this same Christ is coming again. Until I come again, keep that in your memory. What God has done, he continues to speak to us in those things. What do you have in the church? Singing, praying, and preaching. What else you have? That's all. Singing, praying, and preaching. That's all there is to a church. It's God speaking. Amen. And it's communing together with him. He spoke in poetry, in the Psalms, and also in prose. He spoke in the historical books, in the proclamation of the law, and the announcements of prophecy and things which had come. He spoke mysteries. The psalmist in Psalm 78 speaks of some of those. The 78th Psalm, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set their heart, not their heart aright, but whose spirit was not steadfast in the Lord. How many of you want your children to be a better Christian than you are, than you were? You don't say, don't do like I do like I tell you to do. But you know that you want them to be of a better servant and testimony of God than you have been. May the Lord help us to speak to our children in that way, that that might be so, but it will be done by our speaking to them. In all of these ways, our God spoke to the prophets. These prophets were divinely inspired, living oracles of the eternal God. Peter tells us that in chapter 1, 2 Peter, in verse 21, in which he says, "For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now, like all prophets, they didn't get much of a hearing. Stephen gave testimony of that just before they stoned him in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, I believe that's Acts 7:51. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you're just like your fathers, you're like your daddy, you're like your grandparents. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just ones, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels, and have not kept it." And they were sure to demonstrate that what he's saying is so. They just like him. They said, "We're not going to put up with that. We'll just kill you and shut you up." Their dispensation, that is, the dispensation of the prophets, is past. Gone. The prophet Malachi speaks these words closing the Old Testament in chapter 4. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts, remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb and all Israel with the statutes of judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And then God went silent for 400 years. Can you imagine what it would be like to not have heard the word of God for 400 years? If you were born and your daddy had never heard the word of God, his daddy had never heard the word of God, and his daddy had never heard the word. My daddy, my maternal grandfather was a Baptist preacher. Most of the churches around where I am now, wasn't near as many of them then, as they are now, but he's preaching nearly every one of them, nearly everywhere I go. Oh, you're the grandfather. You're the grandson of Harrison Thompson, right? Yes. His daughter and his daughter came my mother. I have a wonderful heritage, but to know and live in a generation where nobody had heard God, that's the way it was for 400 years. God hadn't spoken. Now you can imagine what a shock it was when John the Baptist shown up. This divine silence for 400 years was broken in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. When John the Baptist came out of the wilderness, thundering the word of God and preaching repentance toward God, people thronged out of the cities to hear him and were baptized, confessing their sins. When Jesus appeared on the scene, God spoke through John, the last old covenant prophet, and declared Jesus to be the Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke to Peter, James, and John, and said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Of course, you know, Peter, they got kind of bored up there. Went to sleep. Woke up. What did he see? There's Moses and Elijah and the Lord there talking. Whoo! Ain't nobody ever seen anything like this. You know what we do? This is historic thing. What we need to do is to build a monument here. In fact, we'll build one for Moses and one for Elijah, and we'll even build one for Jesus. He thought that was a pretty good suggestion. You know how the God received it? He says, "Shut up. This is my Son. Nobody, nothing matters but him. Hear ye him." He's the Word. He's the Word. He's the one who spoke to us. The speaking God who spoke to our fathers by the prophets has spoken to us. He is aware of us and knows us personally. He knows our names, where we live, what we do, what we think and how we feel, what we hate and what we love. Now, you might convince some people what you like and what you don't like, but God knows what you like. You might go out of here today and say, "Boy, that was a good sermon." And in your mind, "I'm sure glad he shut up. I had enough of that." God knows whether you liked it or not. And he's the one that really matters. He knows our hearts better than we know. And he knows our needs better than we know them. You think you know what you need? God knows better. He's going to give you what you need too, whether you like it or not. And he's ready to be our God. Are we ready to be his obedient child? The speaking God has spoken to us by his Son. John 10:3. John 10:3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and they lead him out. Now, I know you have not probably heard an audible voice coming out of heaven, but if you've come to Christ, you heard his voice. He called you in the inner recesses of your soul, and you had to come. That irresistible call.
Amen. Praise God.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Where are we going? Well, where's the Lord? He's right there. That's where I'm going. Well, I think I'd like to go this way. I like it better that way.
No,
well, that's not a good place to be. I feel inclined, strangely inclined to go this way. Where are you going? I don't know. Why are you going? I don't know. But I feel like this is where we need to go. You say, oh, that doesn't make much sense. That's not good theology, man. It may not be, but it for sure does work out good. He has never misled me. I've never been disappointed in His plan. His was always better than mine. I can generally trying to find out the God's will about saying something, someone I can say. You can think of 10 ways in which God may resolve something and get something done. You know which one it'll be? It'll be the 11th one. But that's the right one. He's spoken to us by His Son. In the 27th verse of John 10. 27th verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which giveth me them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, that is the basis for the doctrine of eternal security. But someone will come along and say, well, maybe nobody's able to pluck you out, but you're able to jump out. You think you can jump out of God's hand if He wants to hold you? No, you ain't that big a grasshopper. Please consider now the enormity, the wonder of this fact, of all the infinite expanse of the universe and all of that it may compose, of all of God's creation. He has singled us out personally, individually, mortal persons, and spoken to us. God speaking to me? Wonderful. Now consider how much more excellent is the Word of God to us in the person of God's Son than the Word of God to our fathers by the prophets. Would you have liked to live in Elijah's day and heard the Word of God from Elijah? You'd be the loser. Better now. To the fathers by the prophets, here is a people who have no inward light in their souls. The prophets speaking to them. They know God exists, but do not know Him, have never seen Him and heard Him. And here comes a man to whom God has spoken, who has the stamp of Almighty upon him. He is a divine, inspired, living oracle of God. He can and He does tell men God's will, God's purpose, God's command, God's covenant, God's promises that do and cannot fail. Wonderful. Talking about the people who heard the prophets in that day. Wonderful for that time. But their dispensation is past. We must not now look in that direction for the Word of God any longer. Why? God has now spoken to us by His Son. Amen. Not just a prophet, but a Son. His Son. Amen. He's not just a mortal man, as were the prophets, but the incarnate God Himself. He has come to us speaking. He can tell us what God is like. Why? He's God Himself. Amen. God's His Father. I can tell you what Alvin Merle is like. You can't. You don't know anything. Everybody heard about him. I was raised in the house. I knew Alvin Merle. He can tell us what God is like. He can tell us the brightness of God's glory by Himself. He is the express image of His person. In His person, He reveals God's compassion, His condescension. The Mosaic law commanded that a leper never to come in contact with anybody else. If you saw one, you had to cry, see them, people afar off, unclean, unclean, unclean. They felt it if you touched him. And you'd pass that leprosy off to you. Here comes a leper, falling at his feet. And he says, Lord, if you will. Here he is, his fingers and hands rotting off, face all distorted, his eye sockets about gone, his nose, nothing left there but a bone sticking out. Vile, filthy, and rags, starving to death. If you will, you can make me clean. I will. And he touched him. That's what he's like. Weeping over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which shortly will take him out and crucify him. How often I would have gathered you, even as a hen to their chicks, and you would not. Wicked people, God haters. That's what he's like. His compassion, his condescension, his wisdom, God's perfect righteousness, God's absolute sovereignty that moves it out of the realm of cold theology. He effectually chooses his disciples, whom and when and how he heals, and whom he raises up, and to whom he gives eternal life. In John 17, and two, he claims that privilege for himself. The 17th chapter of John and verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. See, his omnipotence. He's Lord over the elements. The sea and the wind have to obey him. Our diseases, the devil and demons and death. Matthew 28 and the first seven verses of the 28th chapter of Matthew. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Jesus had been crucified and put him in a tomb and buried him and so rolled a rock over the mouth of it, shut it up. Mary and Magdalene and other Marys to see the disciples. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, Fear not, ye. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. I know who you come after. You come after a dead man. He isn't here. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord and go quickly and tell him, his disciples, that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him, lo, as I have told you. He also tells us what man is, for he was the perfect man. He was perfect in his humility, in his gentleness and meekness, perfect in his subjection and his obedience in his life, perfect in his obedience to his life on the cross. God has spoken. A little grammar attention here. The tense is present, perfect. They couldn't say God spoke. He did say God spoke in time past by the prophets. But God said something down there. God said something yesterday, and you can't say God spoke. God has spoken. The tense is present, perfect. His speaking is complete. In these last days, the revelation of his word to man is complete. This does not mean that he is not with each of us in his person of his spirit. guiding, helping, comforting, teaching us. He's the good shepherd, ever feeding and caring for the sheep. The shepherd is ever with the sheep. That's the reason he used the figure there. Shepherd got to have sheep, got to have shepherd with him all the time. You can't just turn them out, let them loose like you do cattle. Shepherd's got to be there with them, protecting them all the time. Nor does it mean that there will be no more divinely inspired and ordered utterances from his people. On the contrary, the last days are marked by such utterances from all of God's people. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 2, the second chapter of Acts, verse 17 and 18. Peter has stood up telling the folks what had happened. And Peter stood up and said, well, I think this is what happened. Well, in my opinion, this is what's going on. That's the way people do. That's the way I interpret this prophecy. Yeah. Peter said, this is that. This is that what the prophet Joel spoke. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, somebody asked me every once in a while, what do you think is going to happen in the last days? These are the last days. We in them. They were the last days then. And dear friends, if those were the last days then, we're in the last minutes and seconds, the last days. I don't know how many more days or years there's going to be, but I can tell you this, there ain't going to be no more after these. This is all. But in those days, say God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons shall prophesy, and your daughters shall make biscuits. Thank the Lord the daughters do make biscuits, but the Bible says they prophesy too. You say, I don't believe in women preachers. I'm not talking about pastoring churches, but I'm talking about prophesying. That's preaching. I believe in women preachers. Did mama ever tell you what you ought to do and what not to do? Yeah. You're not much of a mama if you don't preach. You preach, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall see visions, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of those days in my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, but the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And it shall come to pass in those days, and that's the ones we end now, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear friend, you hear you never called upon his name. Today's the day. Amen. And you can call upon him, and he'll save you. Those days will not always be, but those are the days when you can call upon him, and he will be heard by you. It means these were the last days of his speaking. God speaking by his son, hear him. He will not go silent again in these last days, but there will be no more days or no more time periods after these days. There will be succeeding generations during these days, and each generation will have the word of God's son spoken to them. Everything we need to know to walk in the way of life has been given to us by Jesus Christ. These, the last days, are our days. Yeah, these are ours. Our eternal destiny will be determined in how we hear God's Son in these days. Human history is drawing to a close in these days. Hebrews 12, 22, and 25. Hebrews 12:22. But you are not coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living. You are coming to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to a heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the covenant, and the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See then that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him who spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Jesus has earned the right to be heard in these last days. He by himself has purged our sins. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He sits enthroned, waiting for every knee to bow, and he will not be disappointed. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Going back to the 115th Psalm where we begin, and taking up in the 9th verse, O Israel, Psalm 115, verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He's their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Our Father, thank you for your mercy and kindness and long-suffering with us. Thank you for gathering these, your people, together in this place where they live. Thank you for making us acceptable through the death and the suffering and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this good pastor, these deacons, these saints, these sweet women, these little boys and girls, these young people. Thank you, O God, for gathering them and making them and causing them to hear your word. Bring forth your glorious fruit and gain the glory that Jesus earned and deserves through them these days. For Jesus' sake and glory we pray. Amen.